I just wanted the music to play a little bit longer. I haven't heard my own tune in a while, man. It's been, I was with Cody last week from Wednesday through Friday. Had the night off last night. Had a buddy's birthday party. Hadn't heard the Good Day song in a while. Just wanted to hear it jam for a little bit, you know? It's a good song. Do you, at this point in your life, Blake, by the way, Blake is producing with us tonight, so just letting you guys. Oh, no, I just broke my headphones. They just literally snapped.
Uh-oh.
So I can literally not hear anything you're currently saying.
Oh,
so what
that's
I could
great.
Try to do is guess what you're saying to me right now, and I would have no idea. Literally, headphones just broke. Like, not only that, my little fob thing, the headphones. Oh, we are right there. I got it out, at least, I think. This is great radio.
I'd ask you if you need help, but you can't hear anything I'm saying.
Blake, let the kids and people know about what's going to happen tonight on After Hours.
Oh, man. On After Hours tonight, man, we got the whole list. We got the whole rundown. We're going to be talking a little bit of NFL. We're going to be talking about, do we trust in Veach with what we've done in this offseason with free agents? Are we going to be trusting the draft process? Yeah. We're going to be talking about cuisines. We're going to be talking about the Masters. Is this the best time for sports? Rounding out our March. Going to have Vern on the show. He's going to be doing it. We're going to have Matt Verderam on the show.
Recorded Matt Verderam.
Of course.
Okay, I can hear you now.
Of course. Yeah. You got me? Okay, we're back.
All right, I think my job here is done. After Hours with Blake Schneider, the rest of your time. There you go.
I'm all down. If you want to walk out right now, I'll just do this.
Oh, my gosh. No. I don't want to stop this show.
We have too much fun together, though.
Yeah, we actually have fun on this show. Like, I know there's been people that have quit radio shows recently because they weren't probably having fun, but we have fun here. That's not, it kind of, yeah. I gotta be nicer, I guess.
We just had a whole session on bullying. Okay, Dusty.
First off, no one's bullying, but, you know, I don't ever want to sound contradicting, right? And I don't want to be considered. Welcome to After Hours, by the way. Rough start, broken headphones to kick the night off. But we're all right. Venmo is Dusty-Light. I'm kidding. I can buy headphones. No, man, I do. I feel bad. I always try to tell people to do nice things. It's cool to care. I don't want to think that, like, maybe I'm mean. And this is the first time I've been on the air since I was brought aware of this. And I know he's not listening, but you can text the text line tomorrow and say, "Dear Alex, Dusty was very thoughtful. Dusty brought up about all this stuff. And, you know, were Cody and I a little bit harsh? Maybe. I wasn't trying to say anything or, you know, reference anything. And I just want to be clear. I 100% apologize about absolutely freaking nothing. Welcome to After Hours. We have fun. Have some thick skin, baby. It's a new day. We weren't mean. We were just being honest. But if I was too mean, please forgive me. I just thought that you went on a trip by yourself. That was my only question. That was it. So I digress. I hope you didn't think that I was being a Richard. And if I was, I can be the Richard of the Week on Friday and we can make a bid out of it. Text line 913-586. I don't think we went too far, but I did want to make record. We had no intentions of that. We just were inquiring. Now, Cody's saying that he looked like a dad, goofier than himself. That's on them. That's their show. I was just inquiring if he was out there by himself, and I found out that he was, and everything's good. But welcome to After Hours. We're back. We've had a little bit of a long time off, and I hate to be the side of bad news, but we got about four shows left, and then April I'm MIA because your Kansas City Royals are getting ready to start. That's why Vern comes on once a week during After Hours up into the season starting, which will be next Thursday. And don't forget this Thursday, Josh Verner has a loaded show for you. He will be here from 6 o'clock until 9 o'clock. So he gets the entire slate Thursday night because that is the season kickoff. That is a week out of opening day. And I know there's a lot of you like, oh, please, baseball, boring. Nah, man. You know you want some, you know you want some dogs and nachos and the crack of the bat and, you know, buying a random cotton candy. That's just the way life goes. But I do want to start the show off tonight with thank you all for joining us. It is a beautiful evening tonight. This entire week of weather is very schizophrenic. I don't understand what's going on with this week of weather, but we will be here, weather, you like it or not. So we will be here tonight. We'll be here tomorrow. After us tonight, by the way, Royals baseball will start at 9 o'clock. Tomorrow, we're only on for 2 hours because Royals baseball starts at 8. Thursday, Josh Fernier, 6 to 9 with Vern's Hot Stove, a loaded show there. And then Friday, 3 hours. Friday night after hours. But tonight, I want to start off with like the news and stuff that we've seen throughout the week. I think the Chiefs are set until you get about another 2 weeks closer to the draft. I think that we can kind of get to the point where we all know where we're at with Legarius Sneed. The Chiefs are either going to play him on a one-year tag or they're going to get a second-round pick for him, and eventually we're going to see that price go down because I believe the number right now is 4 for $80. 4 for $80 is kind of a big pillow. Now, the thing that's interesting with Legarius Sneed and the Kansas City Chiefs is I don't necessarily think you need Legarius Sneed to win a Super Bowl. It helps a lot. It makes the path cleaner. We saw how great he was last year, and I think Legarius Sneed is kind of at a crossroads at where he's at in free agency. Is he still in the young threshold where he should get paid coming off that rookie contract and a fourth-round pick that was out of Louisiana Tech? For sure. Did he do everything he should have done last year to prove that he should be paid the highest amount of money as a corner? Kind of. There's a few things that stuck out that a lot of people don't seem to like. One is the random flare-ups of injury, the knee injury that kind of floated around throughout the season. We all know those stories. We heard those stories. It is what it is. The other thing is the money. And the money's high because Legarius Sneed is in a weird situation where he's setting the market towards a market that's not quite been exposed yet. But it's coming. And it's either this year and he's the trailblazer, or it's next year and he's still part of it. And I think that he can become a high paid. I mean, if Jerry Jeudy could pay the way he did, and we'll get to the Browns. But I think that if you go to the fact of where Legarius Sneed is right now, because there's no secret where football has moved to. It is a quarterback and receivers game. I know running backs kind of got their wish with paychecks in this offseason and free agency, but we know what the game is. The quarterbacks and the wide receivers, they make the money, and defensive ends. But quarterbacks and wide receivers, they make the money. Eventually, the league is going to get smart, or the youth will eventually evolve, and it'll be like, hey, in a league where there's all these super athletic wide receivers, we're going to start developing cornerbacks. We're going to try to stop that because that's the number one thing that needs to be stopped. And if you can do that, then you can do exactly what the Kansas City Chiefs did last year. Because they had a lot of reasons why they won the Super Bowl. But one of the biggest damn reasons they had was because they had two really, really, really good cornerbacks. Two should have been all-pro quarterbacks. Two should have been Pro Bowl quarterbacks. Two of the top five in the league. A luxury item for sure when it comes to having two of them. And Legarius Sneed is at that beginning of that market, right? Or the start of it. Like, we don't want to see it, but we know it's there. It's that spring clean that's around the corner at your house. Oh, boy, I told my wife this year I was going to do the closet. Yeah, we'll get there. We'll get there. And Legarius Sneed is in the position with a resume that should provide him with a very large contract. But also, is the NFL really, truly ready to give birth to this massive cornerback market? Because you're paying quarterbacks a ton, you're paying wide receivers a ton, you're paying defensive linemen a ton. It's like, which positions do we continue to start giving money to, and what do we take away? And Legarius Sneed was a guy who shut down every wide receiver one he played last year, resume built there. But where guys will nitpick Legarius Sneed is, well, there were some injuries. Technically, you weren't an all-pro cornerback. Technically, you weren't a Pro Bowler. But I think the Chiefs in this situation with Legarius Sneed, I think they're set. And the other thing that I think they're set into the draft is, I think they're going to get, if they do get a number two overall pick for Legarius Sneed and they get two picks in that draft at the second round, you will then see them get very aggressive with three picks. And I think those three picks will be a wide receiver. I think it will be a tackle. And I think it will be a tight end. But I think the three-peat is slowly but surely, not slowly as in like molasses in wintertime, but I think that there's one more move to be done, and then the puzzle is complete, and it's like, okay, let's get to work. because Hollywood Brown is another one of those pieces that you've seen the Chiefs in the offseason continuously do. And we'll talk about that later tonight as well. But where there is a position of need to adjust, the Kansas City Chiefs seem to do that. And when there is a position of, well, we can get away with this because we've got others, like I've said in the draft, that's what the Chiefs do. There's no doubt in my mind they knew this contract was going to come up with the Jerry Sneed because they could see his talent. There's a lot to go in with Spags and the cornerbacks coaches along with Veach finding all of this and developing it. That's why McDuffie was such a vital piece of that draft and in that trade with Tyreek Hill. You look at when the offensive line was an issue, they immediately fixed it. You look at how the wide receivers this offseason or this regular season was an issue. They have fixed it. They have gotten rid of MVS. Everyone saw that coming. There's been no talks of Kadarius Toney and Sky Moore of any sort of what their role might be or what it could be or what it is. But there's been talk that they were going to go get a wide receiver. They sat back. They let people get paid. They weren't going to pay the $30 million. And then what they do, they found the eager young guy hungry for a championship and a one-year prove-it deal like they'd done in the past with Juju Smith-Schuster, where they've given low contracts for minimum years to like a Sammy Watkins, and then they can go out and do whatever they want. And Sammy Watkins had hopped around for a few other teams due to health reasons. But again, they have done this before. And I think the three-piece set, and I think they're in a good situation with L'Jarius Sneed, barring what happens. I think they're either going to get a second-round pick for him, or they're going to play him on the franchise tag, and he'll have to go out there and prove it, and then we'll see what happens in the years prior. But I would have to believe that one side will cave when it comes to money or agent getting money, and all of a sudden it will be like, all right, we'll take 65 and you'll get a second round pick. That would be a great situation. Blake, do you think this team can win a Super Bowl without L'Jarius Sneed?
Of course. I think it's going to look different, but of course they can. It's going to look different, but when you have another lockdown corner in Trent McDuffie, I mean, you look across the league, most teams only have one guy. The Chiefs have been blessed with two awesome draft picks.
If one guy.
Hell, half the teams are probably trying to struggle, and that's why it's a little interesting that they have been less than forthcoming to give the Chiefs what they want for a top-tier talent.
Right.
Now, as we heard this morning on Cody and Gold, there has been that floating injury issue with L'Jarius Sneed, like that really didn't play a part in this season as a whole. But whoever's floating it out there, because I guarantee the Chiefs aren't out there like, yeah, he's got knee problems. Do you still want to trade? Like, no, That's not how that works. But it is interesting that people aren't champing at the bit a little bit more to get a L'Jarius Sneed. And maybe that's because they don't like the contract on the other side of that.
Yeah.
But yes, 100%, I think the Chiefs can win a Super Bowl without L'Jarius Sneed.
Somebody says, yo, Dustman, totally off the rails, but it's apparently mowing season in Platte City. I mowed Saturday. No, I mowed Saturday this weekend. I love it. 785, where's Bink? Not here. You can find him on the Character Concerns podcast at Three Guys in a Garage. But that's where Bink is. This is After Hours with Dusty Likens. That's Blake. This is 610 Sports Radio. On the other side, the mecca of sports seasons. Maybe just the mecca of seasons. It's here tomorrow, and it starts getting more and more fruitful throughout the next few weeks. That's Blake. I'm Dusty. This is After Hours with Dusty Likens, 785. We'll be right back.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
And After Hours, Dusty Likens with you. We're here till 9. Blake's with you as well. Out of left field question at 8 o'clock. No out of left field question tomorrow night because we'll be out of here at 8 o'clock. So a quick evening on a Wednesday night. You'll get some Royals action tonight at 9 o'clock. And then you will also get a Royals game tomorrow at 8 p.m. Spring training from 816. I love you, Dusty. I love you, too. I love everybody. I just feel like when you're like clearly trying to be a troll, I'm going to be like super passive aggressive towards you. From the 816, Dusty, I just shot an 84 at Hoots and was playing behind someone chewing sunflower seeds and spit them all over the green. Pissed us off. Oh, man. See, that's where, like, I think in this world that we live in, Blake, I was developed differently. Because I know that I probably shouldn't make a huge deal about it. Now, depending on, actually, it doesn't depend. There's a big rule. Don't spit your seeds on the green. Like, don't flick your cigarette out on the green so that when it burns out, there's like a butt on the green, and then you got to move it or whatever. It's etiquette. And my problem in life is that I have an issue of not being able to not say it. And it's never like, you know, a curse word or like raising my voice. I've gotten to the point where there's just no point in raising my voice. Like, it just, it doesn't get anything accomplished. But like, I'm the kind of guy that, like, I know that course well enough, so I know there's, like, moments where you're, like, parallel with each other. I'd be like, hey, which one of you guys has sunflower seeds? Throwing it their way to think, oh, would you like some? Or that they would casually be like, oh, over here. I'm like, yeah, maybe stop spitting them on the green. Now, the problem with that is that you never know who you're dealing with. And I don't know if, like, by saying that to somebody who might be, like, insecure or wound up might think it's, like, a threat. And then there might be one guy be like, you got a problem with it? Or he might just tell you to FO and give you a middle bird. But I would be that guy like, you know, maybe that's why I love Curb Your Enthusiasm so much. Cause I could see myself doing little Larry David episodes.
A little passive, not passive aggressive a little bit.
It's very passive.
So I think also sometimes the passive aggressive stuff, like you said, raising your voice actually never really, it never really does anything. And in fact, it initiates a negative response typically instead of sometimes the passive aggressive thing or even just being like, hey man, I appreciate it, but can we just keep it off the green a little bit? Sometimes that makes people feel way worse and be considerate on the other end.
Some people just hate to be called out.
Yeah, no, that's 100% true.
Like, oh, damn, okay. And I think that's because they already know what they are doing. But speaking of golf and sunflower seeds and everything that goes involved with those two things, good segue. I honestly think, and I do this every year, but we have made it. I hate the wintertime. It's slow. You're pining for all the football news in the world. Like, I don't even know how much Chiefs content you actually want. And I mean that. I think that's why this show can be so fun, because you're not sitting there every day hearing something about a player on a practice squad, or you're hearing about a guy that was injured or waiting for an injury report, because you don't get that towards the end of winter. And thankfully, we have a team in Kansas City that likes to play all the way to mid-February so that football season stretches out right into basically free agency. But now you're at a point where it's like, okay, the calm is now after the storm. Now we wait for the draft. Or there's one or two moves that might shake the foundation of the league, or something egregious happens, like Jerry Jeudy gets $100 million to play wide receiver when he's just a jag. I didn't call him that. That's what Stephen A. Smith called him. Or not Stephen A. Smith, Steve Smith called him. Just an average guy. Not me. But he got paid a lot of money to be just an average guy. But this is that time of season where, we already mentioned it, right? Spring is tomorrow, officially, March 20th. So you finally started to get the warm weather. You get the Masters, whether you like golf or not. The Masters is great. We had a banger of a golf tournament this last weekend at the Players. I mean, we had Wyndham Clark, like, mid-fist pump, thinking that putt was going to go in, lipped out. How you doing? And now you get the Masters. You get opening day baseball. You get March Madness. You have your first four in, first four out, right? You have the Team Howard versus Team Wagner. If that moves the needle for you, then you are just really into college basketball. But the intensity, and we'll keep you updated, right? Wagner's up 31-22 over Howard, 2:31 left in the first half. But it's also opening day. We found out today that Andy Reid's going to throw out the first pitch. That's interesting. Over-under, I mean, I don't know if you can bet an over-under, but I want to know if you could do, like, offshore, like, what are the odds he throws a strike against the odds he throws a ball? What are the odds it's in the dirt? Plus 500. Andy Reid, can he throw it 40 miles an hour? Can he throw it 50 miles an hour? Big Red throwing out the opening day pitch. Masters menu comes out, which makes me a little interested to know. Damn. Kevin McCullough will miss the NCAA tournament. At least the first game. That's what my watch just told me. Maybe that's old news. But either way, March Madness, opening day, baseball, Masters, menu comes out. John Rahm's menu, straight out of Spain. Appetizer, entree, dessert, soup, salad. If you had to get one appetizer on your dream menu, what's your go-to appetizer? I don't know how to answer this. Because I think I would do a combination nacho, but very hard to share. Everybody's using their fingers. You got to kind of get in there. But, man, you get a good combo nacho, good cheese, jalapenos, beans, meats, chicken.
Well, and what you have that problem of, what if somebody else just eats only the chips that have all the toppings?
Then you got
to
go.
You're only getting the chips, and then you got to go to the waiter. You got
to go to the manager and say there's a rule in the restaurant that you can't eat all the nachos with the good fixings on.
Just tell her it's the rule.
Yeah. I don't know. I also like, I mean, wings are a solid choice. You can't really go wrong with wings.
Can't go wrong with wings.
No. Mozzarella sticks, that's a good appetizer. Doesn't really ruin the meal. You get one or two. I like pretzels.
If you want to fancy it up a little bit, I always like a good like beef tartare dish, because everybody gets like one or two, and that's really all you really want.
That's going just like kinda real like, fancy.
That's
like,
what I said. If you want to fancy it up a bit.
It's also gnarly. It's basically just raw meat.
Yeah, well, you know, have a refined palate there, Dusty.
I've had tartare like 3 times.
And?
I liked it.
So
it reminded me of cold hamburger helper.
Yeah.
Which I would never tell the chef at Town & Company that that's what it reminded me of, but that's where I had it. And it was good. It almost was like on a pork rind sort of cracker. But yeah. Either way, I don't know what my number one appetizer would be. Ah, man, Third Street Social. They have a Brussels sprout cauliflower appetizer. Fantastic. Great appetizer. Coming up, maybe we'll ask Vern. He'll join us live in Arizona. Josh Vern, your Royals insider at 610 Sports Radio. Don't forget, Vern's show, Thursday night, 3 full hours as the season is a week from that night from kicking off. Lots to talk about. You got an ace and you got an all-star, and it's on the Kansas City Royals, believe it or not. That's Blake of Dusty coming up on the other side. Josh Vernier on After Hours.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
Back here on 610 Sports Radio After Hours, Dusty Likens with you, Blake with you as well. We're here till 9 o'clock tonight. Gorgeous evening here in the city of Kansas City. Gorgeous.
It is beautiful outside.
It is. Starting to bloom, all that sort of stuff. We are now joined by 610 Sports only Royals insider. The only insider you need to listen to, Josh Vernier. We just left before the commercial break with the Masters. The menu is out. What's an appetizer you would put on the table that you think might impress everybody?
Well, I'm not fancy, so I wouldn't be putting anything out there to impress anyone. But my appetizer of choice, if we're at like a nicer place, if they have like Brussels sprouts, you know, like blackened Brussels sprouts, you know, with a balsamic or a soy sauce of some sorts. Hook me up with that.
Hey, if you get an off day, which you have one the Friday after the Royals opening day game on the 29th or 28th, you should take the lady to Third Street Social. They have the exact same appetizer you seek. It is the one that I brought up before I went to break. It is a Brussels sprouts cauliflower app. They put a balsamic glaze on it, serve it with like a dill sauce.
Yeah, if they hook it up for free, I'm there.
I mean, I can.
Because you're giving them enough pub right now.
Yeah. Well, I know the GM, so maybe we can get together and I can get you a free app. That's where my status is. I can get apps. I can't get steaks or, you know, stuff like you get, Vern. But let's... Okay.
It's food.
Yeah. No, don't.
Good. Hey, yeah. Come on.
Good food. Healthy food. Come on. All right. So let's dive into it. You got a big one coming up on Thursday night. You got a 3-hour show. Get everybody ready for the season. But not only that, I mean, you have a team this year that's got a number one on both sides. They got an ace on the mound, I believe, and he's going to be the opening day starter. And they got an ace in that middle of the lineup with Bobby Witt Jr. Been a long time since you've had a 1-1 punch on both sides of the white line for this Kansas City Royals team.
Yeah, when was the last time? I think you have to go back to Saber, Hagen, and George the last time you had an ace and a MVP candidate in the lineup. Look, it's certainly a nice place, especially for someone like you that grew up in this town, desperate for a true superstar, not the, well, he's our superstar, we love Whit Merrifield, back off. Now I'm talking like a true guy that's going to finish top 10 for the MVP again this year, and again the year after that, and hopefully for the duration of this contract that he recently signed. But honestly, the ace that you talk about, Cole Reagans, for as dominating as he was down the stretch, he's in a very different situation in 2024 where it's not cute anymore. It's expected. And what's expected is domination, because you're on Thursday going to face Pablo Lopez, a guy that shoved it up your tailpipes countless times last year, including opening day when he shut out the Royals. 2-0 final. But then throughout the season, Cole Reagans, we're going to ask you to stare down Shane Bieber, Garrett Cole, the best that the Framber Valdez, the best that the league has to offer, the number ones from the American League East powerhouses like Baltimore and Tampa and New York to the West in Texas and Houston. All those teams are going to face in the first 2 months of the season as well. So it's a different spot that Reagans finds himself in that it's not good enough this year to give me 5-6 innings and a chance to win. I need you to do him one better, whoever he is, Pablo Lopez, if it's Nate Eovaldi, Justin Verlander, if they throw 7 shutout, I need you to throw 8 shutout. He hasn't had to face that type of pressure. I'm not concerned about his mentality or not concerned about his stuff, but as we've learned as baseball fans, until you do it over the course of 162, you remain a question mark.
When it comes to the guys that have, you know, taken the slab on opening day in the past, it seems like there was, you know, kind of a similar story with Singer, or maybe there was something similar before where it was like, okay, well, this guy showed some promise in the late part of the second half of the season. And like you said, show it and prove it. For some reason, when I watch Cole Reagans pitch, and I've been a nerd and I've watched, you know, some, you know, quick pitches on Twitter, I don't get a whole lot of, you know, TV coverage when it comes to spring training, but you've got radio coverage. It just kind of seems like he kind of gives me that, oh man, almost like just a silent assassin vibe. Like, it's almost like great that nobody is talking about him. And it seems like he's that type of story that we're going to get sometime in the middle of, if this team is successful, right? If they are successful, it's going to be because of something he's doing right. And if he's doing something right as a lefty that throws 99 and can mow him down, and I think he can, then I think we're going to finally start to hear this story. And wouldn't it be nice? Wouldn't it be nice to finally sit back and go through all those years? And I think he's a guy that just looks different when it comes to being out there, go out there and give your stuff. Like, he's, you know, doesn't have to go down a league to develop a curveball. Doesn't have to go develop a changeup, or is he worried about a pitch? He just kind of seems and screams confidence, Vern.
Yeah, and the difference between him and Singer, because they both have the mentality of an ace, Singer even more so, in my opinion, than Cole Reagans. They're both very good at remaining even keel. The issue and the difference is repertoire. You look at Reagans has 5 pitches. Mm-hmm. And for the most part of his career, Brady Singer's been a 2-pitch pitcher. So when Brady's two-seam or slider, when he doesn't have command of one, well, then the opposition just sits back and tees off on the other. Now, when he has both of them going, the guy spins gems, like we saw in his debut season when he nearly no-hit the Cleveland ball club. Reagans, if he doesn't have command of his cutter or his fastball, well, then he can go to the curveball, to the slider, to the changeup, and mix speeds, change elevations. He's just again, he's a first-round pick, too. This is a guy drafted in the first round 8 years ago out of high school by the Texas Rangers, a guy that was expected to be a stud throughout his high school time, right? He was a recruit of Florida State, was going to be the number one on that Seminoles team if he would have ultimately gone to Tallahassee, but gets a nice deal out of Texas. So really the most impressive part of Cole Reagan's is overcoming back-to-back Tommy John surgeries, missing 3 years, and putting in the type of work that it takes to get back to that level. Because, you know, one Tommy John, the doctors say you have a 75% chance of getting back to the level that you were previously. So a 75% chance of getting back to being a double-A pitcher. And then you have another Tommy John, that cuts it even more. That cuts the likelihood of you returning to that form even more so. So it's really a coin flip. When he blows out the second time, it's a coin flip that he returns to this level. And by this level, I mean just being a quasi-big leaguer. To return to this level and ascend to become an opening day starter speaks highly of the heart, the mind, the work ethic, and the love of the game, the love of the work that Cole Reagan's has. And look, the Royals are going to reap the benefits over the next few seasons so long as he can stay healthy.
We're talking to Josh Verner, Royals insider here at 610 Sports Radio. Whether you believe it or not, March 28th is going to be here in less than 2 weeks, opening day. And if you're looking for a sweet deal, grab your family and friends and watch a game from a suite at Kauffman Stadium during April. Suites are as low as $99. Visit Royals.com/tickets. Vern, how much does, and this is my last Reagan's question, I promise, but how much does his development and maybe his awakening to this staff and maybe the comfortability of knowing, okay, that's our one, right? It's in-house competition. I've always loved that. I thought it's always worked. There's some of that getting ready to go on in Pittsburgh with quarterback play, but we're here in Kansas City. How much does Reagan's becoming that guy, taking that step, kind of ease some tension on maybe like a Daniel Lynch or a Brady Singer, where like that conversation had kind of been there in their careers?
Yeah, I think it's more Waka and Lugo that bring that comfort to the clubhouse, where it's, you know, Brady Singer, it's no longer if you don't shove every fifth day, this team has no chance. It's a lot like Salvi with the emergence of Bobby Witt Jr. and the arrival of Hunter Renfroe. It's all the pressure isn't on the shoulder of Salvi anymore, just like all the pressure isn't on the shoulders of Brady Singer anymore. But actually, I brought that up to Brady a few weeks ago on the show, and he said, yeah, I don't really care for that line of thinking, because I want to take the mound thinking, if I don't go out here and shove, we're not going to win. I like that pressure. I think we should all feel that way and build what you're talking about. Build that internal competition amongst this rotation where you're trying to go out there and one-up the guy that you saw the day before. So I love that attitude from Brady Singer. But I don't think the emergence of Cole Reagan's, and keep in mind, it's only a dozen starts in the big leagues. Cole Reagan's, when he lays his head down at night, there's no way he knows that he's the truth or that he's going to be able to duplicate what he did last season in those 12 games. So I don't think the pressure that he feels or the pressure that Singer feels has been lessened by one or the other. If anything's been lessened, it's the pressure on Bobby. It's the pressure on Michael Massey and MJ Melendez and Vinny Pasquantino, the young sluggers that when they hit their head to the pillow, they're not sure. I mean, maybe outside of Bobby, they're not sure if they're 5-10 year big leaguers. For as confident as Vinny should feel with what he did last year, for as positive as MJ should feel about what he did in the second half of the season, now these guys are still trying to find their footing in the big leagues, trying to prove themselves that they do belong, that they can be a part of a championship team. So now when they're on that first baseline next Thursday for opening day, I think having Reagan's and Singer makes you feel better, but having the depth with Waka, with Lugo, with the veterans in that bullpen, they can now stand there and feel, hey, if we score 4 runs, that should be enough. This pitching staff is going to make it hold up. The past few years, if Singer wasn't on the hill or if Reagan's wasn't on the hill, these guys are showing up to the ballpark thinking, we got to push 7 runs across or we have no chance. So the consistency, the track record of Seth Lugo and Michael Wacha, I think, have shifted the focus in that clubhouse of, hey, look at all these young bats. I think the focus is, look at all the stability we have in the rotation and in the bullpen, where the pitching to me is, if this team's going to succeed in 2024, the pitching is going to be the hallmark. We haven't been able to say that since Wade Davis left after 2016.
Vern, last one. When it comes to the AL Central, which is what you got to take care of first, who's your biggest threat and why?
Well, Minnesota, I still think, is the team to beat. They're still a pretty big fish out there in Jordan Montgomery. If he ends up in Cleveland, if he ends up in Minnesota, I think they further extend themselves as the class of this division. So I would still, if I was going to bet, I would still side with Minnesota. It's not confidently. You know, Cleveland's track record for pitching gives you confidence that they'll at least be in it. But again, the stability that I see in this Royals rotation, this Royals pitching staff, I'd be surprised if they finished lower than third, even with the young talent that Detroit has. I'm not sure about that pitching staff, not sure about that bullpen. So honestly, I would think that the Royals are the threat in the division, and the teams that have won consistently over the past half decade, Cleveland and Minnesota, continue to be the teams to watch, the teams that the Royals are gunning for.
From the 816, my wife is a chef at the Lee Summit 3rd Street Social. I've gotten a lot of free food from there. I'll see if I can get Vern a free meal. There you go, Vern. So you got something to look forward to when you're back in the metro area.
All right, shoot me that guy or that gal's number.
You got it, man. Hey, stay safe, and we'll listen to you tomorrow or on Thursday night for 3 hours, Vern. Appreciate you.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
You bet.
Josh Vern, your Royals insider here at 610 Sports Radio. A lot to dive into. If you missed that, download the Odyssey app. Go to the After Hours. You'll see my ugly face. You can go then find the Josh Vern your interview, or you can also listen Thursday night from 6 until 9 with Josh Vern. Blake and I will be continuing our conversation of more fun stuff because it's spring, and we're all here to have a good time. I'm Dusty Likens. That's Blake. This is After Hours on 610 Sports Radio.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
You more Andre 3000 or are you more baby boy when it comes to this group?
I'm split. Okay. I mean, obviously, I have a huge reverence for Andre 3000 and everything he does. What makes me sad is when they ask him if he's going to put out a new album, and then he was hyping up his new album. It doesn't make me sad. The album was flute music, and he's been practicing this flute music all the time. But
like the shroot flute?
Yeah, pretty much.
All right.
But it's when he said, I'm probably never going to make another album. I've got nothing left to prove. And that's so true. He has nothing left to prove. But he's so good that everybody wants more. Not on the flip side, I like me some Big Boy.
Yeah.
I like his style. It was always like they were just a great 1-2 punch combo because they brought just a different side from each one of them. And I thought it was always great. I'm a huge Outkast fan.
Yeah, I thought he was always more like down to earth, low, subtle, and then like Andre was more of the like up, colorful one.
Yeah, up, extraterrestrial type, yeah, like mentality. And then Big Boy was like, yo, this is keeping it real for the G's, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I liked Andre a lot.
My buddy just got an Outkast tattoo, actually.
Really?
Yeah, of their symbol.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it's pretty cool, actually.
Yeah, they were, I just listened to the Roses song the other day. I forgot all about that song. Fantastic.
Quick story for you.
Yeah.
I went to the store when that song came out, and I told my mom, hey, I want to buy the new Outkast CD. She didn't know who Outkast was, so we go to Best Buy. I find the CD. Guess what? Explicit material.
Yeah, parental advisory.
On it. So I scratched that mofo off,
mm-hmm.
and then we go buy it. Throw the roses on in the car with my mom while I'm driving home in grade school. Had no idea what the ending of that song was like.
Mm-hmm.
It's just constant B words and mm-hmm. you dumbass and you all these, you know, whatever, whatever,
mm-hmm.
constantly. And she took it out immediately and was like, this is not for you.
Nope.
And she gave it to my sister, who then secretly let me listen to it.
There you go. Peter Schrager had a very interesting topic today on Good Morning Football.
If we were to do an NFL quarterback bracket for all 32 current teams,
mm-hmm.
starting quarterbacks, 32 teams, the four number one seeds at the quarterback positions would be Mahomes in one bracket.
Yeah.
Josh Allen in another.
Of course.
Uh-huh. Lamar Jackson in another.
Indeed.
And Joe Burrow in another. Those are your four number one seeds.
Agree or disagree?
I agree.
So, Burrow, Mahomes, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson. Those are your number one seeds. Mahomes would be in the Midwest.
Yeah.
Okay. Burrow would be in the... I think Burrow would get like the... He'd be the fourth overall, so he'd have the toughest route. So, I think you'd probably have what? Burrow or Allen would be in the East. Lamar in the North. Burrow would have to go West.
You'd have to.
And then you'd have Midwest would be Patrick Mahomes. Who are the four number two seeds when it comes to quarterbacks?
Now that, my friend, is a great question.
Because those are always the teams that like, because we're not going to talk bracketology. You don't need to. If you want to do a bracket, print it off, take a picture of it, share with your friends. It's always fun. I'll do one, but I don't really get over the top. What I'll do more of now is I'll just bet when I'm in Kansas on the March Madness tournament. But got to think... Herbert's a two seed.
I think Herbert gets a lot of credit for being very mediocre.
I think CJ Stroud is a two seed.
I can get down on that.
I think Dak Prescott's a two seed.
I definitely don't get down on that.
Okay. And then I think with just recency bias, I think you'd have to have Jalen Hurts is a two seed.
Yeah. I can see it. I think I struggle when we leave out guys like a Matthew Stafford. Yes, they're older, been in the league a long time, but with the quality of play that they still put up, or a guy like, you know, former Super Bowl, Jared Goff.
You think he's a two seed?
I'm just saying when we talk about these guys,
yeah,
it's weird where we would put them. Are they automatic three seeds? Those two is Stafford, who's just won a Super Bowl not too long ago, already a three seed over Dak Prescott, who chokes in the playoffs every time.
Mm.
If he can get there.
Yeah. What's Kirk Cousins seed wise? Is he a three seed?
He's the top. Oh, man. He's a three seed, but he's one of the, again, because the playoffs is not there. Right. But he always seems to come to play. Like, I would personally put Kirk over Dak Prescott. I just don't think Dak Prescott's a good quarterback.
That's fair. Stafford over Prescott. The 4-2 seeds for quarterbacks would be Herbert, Hurts, Stroud, and Lawrence, according to the 913. Andre 3000 on the Walk It Out remix was insane, bro.
Yes, it was. Great song.
Yeah. I don't know, man. We'll get into more of that a little bit later on. We'll also do the Out of Left Field question at 8 o'clock. But coming up on the other side... there was a really good documentary, but I think we ran into a big problem. There's a new one coming out on Netflix, plus lots of shows that we could get into and talk about because, hey, hate to break to you, not a whole lot of sports going on outside of March Madness, and the quietness of the NFL has now loomed, but we'll talk more about that. But coming up on the other side, a new documentary where they went and found personalities because they ran out of them everywhere else. It's After Hours with 610 Sports Radio.